Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Magic Drive Time podcast. It is the summer edition. Magic officially have a new coach. They hire Steve Clifford after a long and drawn-out process. I'm joined alongside by the one and only Dan Savage. First off, Dan, it's been about 2 weeks since we've done one of these. We were in Chicago last time. A little bit of a gloomy day here in Orlando today, but it's good to have you back.
It is good to be back, and it's while it's a gloomy day outside, it is a bright day for the Orlando Magic organization as they bring back Steve Clifford as head coach. While it was a long process, it was a very thorough process by Jeff Weltman and John Hammond. And when you really look at what they did here, they went and got a head coach with experience and one that knows the inner workings of this organization and has had success here. So a great day for the Orlando Magic organization and great job by Jeff Weltman and John Hammond.
Let's talk about the process that Jeff Weltman talked about during his press conference. And first off, before we even get into the nuts and bolts of this, introductory press conferences are hard to lose when you're someone that's being hired. But I thought Steve Clifford, for all of his candor, for all of his personality, really showed through early on of what kind of coach the Orlando Magic are getting and just what type of person he is, too. I was really impressed. I did not know him when he was assistant here. I wasn't here yet. You knew him a little bit, but I think we got to know a little bit more about Steve Clifford today that we didn't know about yesterday.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be here during the finals run when he was having a lot of success. So our relationship goes way back, and I've stayed in touch with him when he was both in LA and then in Charlotte. So I really know what kind of coach the Magic are getting. But for those who aren't familiar, Steve Clifford was very much like his personality in the press conference, where he's direct, to the point, and you know, you really found out what his true values are. I think the thing that the Orlando Magic will be getting as a head coach is not only a guy who develops players, because he's very good at that. He's had success with that here. But he's also one that holds players accountable. When you talk about a coach who gets a lot out of his players and is very clear, he is definitely accountable and, you know, sticks true to his principles. And we heard some of those today.
I thought that was kind of funny. So there were players in the press conference room today. Nick Vucevic, Jonathan Isaac, DJ Augustine, they were all there. And he made a point during the presser to say, now I am going to get a headache if you don't run back on defense. That was already kind of putting the stakes in the ground for that type of a situation, wasn't it?
No, with Steve Clifford coach teams, there's certain things that you know you're going to get. As Jeff Weltman mentioned in the press conferences, his teams are always up there in defensive rebounding. They're always very low in turnovers and very low on fouls committed. That's what you're going to expect. True to the fundamentals, we're not going to give the other team anything. And that's what one of the principles that Steve Clifford lives by and is really going to hunker down with this Orlando Magic team.
If you can hear the rain on the windows, it's because it is a gloomy day in Orlando. Bright day for the Orlando Magic, like you said. But let's talk about the process. It was one of the very first questions that Jeff Weltman was asked during the press conference today. This search went a month and a half. I think it went longer than anyone necessarily thought it would after Frank Vogel and his entire staff were let go. But I thought Jeff Weltman put it very well. The idea behind the reason that it took so long is there was no deadline on this. And more times than not, when companies make a job hire, it is not instant. It is a process. There is an application process. There is a vetting process. And then there are interviews. And for as long as this took, Jeff Weltman and John Hammond seemed very confident in the guy that they got. But talk about their reason for why this did drag on.
No, when you look at it, they're both very thorough. They want to vet everything. They want to look, make sure they interview the right number of people and ultimately get the right person in this job. And it was funny, we were up at the lottery slash combine, and I won't mention who the reporter was, but a very well-known reporter went up to Jeff Weltman and was like, how are you guys doing this? In today's era, how are you keeping this process so secretive? And it's really a testament to them to keep the privacy and integrity of the candidates intact and not make this, you know, a dog and pony show, which is all about just garnishing attention for the organization. They kept everything close to the vest. They vetted a number of candidates very thoroughly, and ultimately they got the right guy. And it was a funny story because Jeff and John had actually interviewed Steve 5 years ago in the past when they were in Milwaukee talking to him about that potential head coaching job. And now, you know, it all comes full circle and they bring him on here. You know, it may be arguably an even better place in Steve's career now that he has a number of years of head coaching experience.
It was very interesting. Someone during today's presser asked him what he learned during his time in Charlotte and what was the most important thing that he took away. And if there's one thing that we learned about Steve Clifford is very good about taking a question and relaying it to a story. And he told a story about not only during his time in LA, but during his first month on the Charlotte job and how important it was that Summer League, everything that went into their offseason prior to his first year, I thought that was one thing that really stood out from Steve Clifford's press conference today is how prepared he is during the offseason because that is the initial work before the season actually gets underway.
No, definitely. And the key component from that story was Kemba Walker bought in right away. Kemba said, "I'm tired of losing. What do I have to do to get this team to win?" And he really took a leadership approach for that team. If anything I garnered from that, that's a message to the Magic veterans. You have a number of guys on this team, whether it be Vooch, Fournier, and you look at guys who are even, you know, starting here but have years in the league, like Jonathan Simmons. You talk about a guy who's played with him in the past in Bismack Biyombo. When you really look at the number of veterans here, what you have to ask yourself is, are you tired of losing? And if so, we have to make sure we go into this offseason collectively as a unit buying into willingness to do whatever it takes to win. Steve Clifford is a great head coach at finding out what players do well and then putting him in those situations. But once he does that for you, are you going to buy in and do all the little things for him that are going to help this team win? And that's the challenge and the gauntlet he's going to lay down. And when he does it, it's going to be up to these Magic players all the way from Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic down to the rookies, or now be second-year players, and Jonathan Isaac, Wes Iwundu. Are you going to do everything possible in your role to be great at your role and then help this team win?
A lot of people talk about a head coach just being a figure. But he spoke specifically about you get your reputation in the NBA by being in player development. And player development never stops. And for the Orlando Magic, a team that still has a lot of young rostered players, you mentioned them, Wes Iwundu, Jonathan Isaac, whatever this draft class is going to be, it has potential to have three guys come in. He seems very aware that this roster is not a veteran roster by any means, that it does have a lot of young guys, and he would not put evaluations on that. He was asked twice, once in the employee meeting and then once in the press conference, and he wanted to make sure that he had a full grasp and understanding who these players are before he spoke about them.
Yeah, and the other interesting part about that is the one story he told about his time in L.A., and the hard work that Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, et cetera, put in year over year to continue to get better. And that's the thing. While he'll help develop guys like Jonathan Isaac and Wes Iwundu, he's also going to continue to try to develop guys like Aaron Gordon, who are continuing to add aspects to part of their game. You know, Evan Fournier is not an old guy, although he has a number of years here and a number of years in the league. He can still get better. Same thing with Nikola Vucevic. And the thing with Steve Clifford is he's had success with big guys in the past. You look at his time with Dwight here. Dwight put up his best years in Orlando in his career here. Dwight then had a reinvention of his career and revitalized himself last year with Steve Clifford back in Charlotte. So I actually had some time to talk with Vooch and Jonathan Isaac about that because they were both in attendance. And they're both very excited to get to work with him because he's had success with Dwight. He's had success with thinner, longer guys who could shoot threes like Rashard Lewis and really bringing in that four out, one in philosophy. So I'm excited to see what he could do with this roster. Personally, I think it's the right coach at the right time.
I was going to say that was where I was going to take this conversation next. A lot of people talk about four out, one in. It's what the Warriors did. But it's also what those early Magic teams did before the league completely went through. And Steve Clifford was a big part of that. And he made sure during his press conference today that he talked about you're always evolving your rosters in the NBA, that there is no set way to win a championship. While things may appear that there's only one way to win now, 5 years from now, it's not going to be the same formula. So he seems like a coach that while at this point, he is a veteran coach. He has over, I think, 20 years of experience in the NBA. He fully understands that you cannot get set in your ways, that you cannot do things year over year, and that you're going to have to continue to evolve, and that the way this master or this Magic roster is comprised now probably won't be the same in 3 or 4 years.
No, definitely. And the one thing about Steve Clifford, he is a basketball junkie. When you talk about some of his sleep issues, as he alluded to, some of it was because he'd go home and just endlessly start watching other NBA team games. And some of our conversation we had in the office before the press conference started when he first came in was just catching up on what's going on in the playoffs and talking about the finals. So he definitely is a basketball junkie. He's studying, you know, constantly what's working for the teams that are in this phase of the NBA season. And how do we get the Magic then to that phase of the NBA season? One obvious way is, you know, the roster is going to have to improve for the Orlando Magic to get there. That's no secret. He mentioned players are a key component to this. But the other side is getting the most out of the guys you do have. And then on the flip side, get him to buy into their roles. You know, he was even, you know, mentioning how many of the aspects of whether these games are won or lost come down to the fundamentals, simple stance positionings. Are we going to dive for a loose ball? And if you do those things for Steve Clifford, you're going to play. If you don't, you're going to be sitting down on the bench. And that accountability is going to be very important to this team, especially when you have a roster full of young guys, because you have to shape the way that this team is going to become and create that identity.
Okay, let's take the shift off the roster and more to the front office and who he's working with. And I thought one of the best things I ever heard of why coaches should take certain positions is it doesn't matter necessarily what the roster looks like at that point. What does matter is who you're going to be working with, and that is Jeff Weltman and John Hammond. And he seemed very aware, all three of them actually did. They seemed very key on this is a relationship that between the three of them has to work. And it does seem like there's already some sense of comfortability between the three of them, and also confidence in what the three of them can do together.
And, you know, that really comes down to when a front office comes in, you know, ultimately they're going to have their guy. And they went out and they found their guy in Steve Clifford. And making sure there's a number of different ways to win in this league, but ultimately everybody has to have the same direction of how you're going to win in this league. And when you have the front office and the head coach aligned, you can overachieve. And that's the situation I think the Magic have here. Jeff, John went out, they found their guy. They're fortunate enough. He also knows this organization. That's a plus, that's a bonus. And then on top of that, between all three of them, they have tons of league experience. You know, Steve has worked, you know, here in Orlando. Prior to that, he worked in Houston under Jeff Van Gundy. He went to LA, worked with some of the greats like Kobe, Dwight again, Steve Nash. He met a world peace, then went over to Charlotte to a team that hadn't made the playoffs in forever, had some of the worst seasons in NBA history, and then turned them around and made them a perennial playoff threat. So he's aware of this challenge. He's dealt with it before, and he's had success. And he's got a front office here who's got tons of years of experience and an ownership group that's willing to do anything, to really anything, to get this team to succeed. So they asked the right questions on him when he went up to the DeVos family and visited them in Michigan. He felt very good about them. They felt very good about him. So we have an organization that on all fronts is working together, and I think that'll show up on the court.
I was going to say, that's the thing that always amazes me. You know, I've been here 4 years now, and when everyone comes in that's new to the organization, how highly they speak about that meeting with the family and what that's like. And so it just reassures you, and especially for Magic fans who are listening, how good of an ownership group this team does have backing it. But I also want to talk about what's next for Steve Clifford. The introductory press conference is the day of pat on the backs, you know, but now there's work to be done. There's a staff to be done. There's a draft that's coming up in a little bit less than a month. He's got a very busy schedule ahead of him leading into June.
Yeah, and just to touch back on the DeVos family meeting really quick, the one thing that can get lost at times when a team loses, you know, a few years in a row, or in the Magic case, you know, the last number of years where they haven't made the playoffs, it's easy to take a shot at the ownership group and say, oh, they may have some result in the losing. But when you talk to people around the league, and I'm fortunate to have worked for the league, to worked with a number of teams in this league, and I talk to my compatriots around the league, you know, the Magic ownership group is one of, if not the most committed to winning. They also go out and they give their basketball operations group freedom to operate, to succeed at their job. They're not meddling owners. So it's really in the hands of the president of basketball operation and the coaching staff to get the job done. If you can't succeed here in Orlando with the tools that they give you, it's going to be tough to succeed in other places. They really put this group in great positioning. Now, some of that always comes down to luck. Are we going to have luck in the lottery? Is it going to be a good draft class when we do have luck in the lottery? Is it going to be a good free agent class when we have cap space? That stuff, et cetera. But they really give the ownership group and coaching staff all the tools necessary. So now for Steve, who's got all these tools in his belt, he's got a great front office in place, he's got young talent to mold, what is he going to do next? Well, he's lucky enough, a number of these guys are already here. We've talked about how Vooch was here today, Jonathan Isaac, DJ Augustine. What he's really got to do, in my opinion, is hunker down with Jonathan Isaac, Wes Iwundu, a number of the young guys, and really give them a game plan to have a successful summer. Because Jonathan Isaac has to have a huge leap from year one to year two for this team to succeed. Then, in my opinion, he's got to get in touch with the veterans, Vooch, Fournier, Aaron Gordon, et cetera, DJ Augustine. And he's got to get those guys to buy into his culture. Because if those guys are setting the tone, if Jonathan Isaac is coming here every day, if Aaron Gordon's coming here every day, and they're doing exactly as coach preaches, the rest of the team has to buy in. It's the way it works. And that's where he had success in Charlotte. From day one, Kemba Walker came in at the time. They also had Gerald Henderson. They both bought in and they set the tone. He told that story about how Kemba Walker came to every summer league practice, didn't just train with them, but he actually went through all the drills. You know, that's what these veterans have to do. And this team goes out to Vegas. Who's going to show up? Who's going to, you know, take on that leadership role? And that'll be interesting to see.
I was going to say, that was one thing he made sure to comment on, was that you need committed players to win in this league, that you can't be half in, half out. You have to fully be committed to the root cause. And I guess that's his challenge to them. We'll see who accepts it, who doesn't, and where they go from there. Real quick, you were with Steve Clifford when they made that finals run here when he was assistant coach under Stan Van Gundy. Told a funny story. Someone asked him if he would ever consider Stan being assistant coach, and he goes, no. You don't do that. But do you have any funny Steve Clifford stories that you have from working with them, maybe shoot arounds you saw him at in Charlotte during the trips up there? What kind of guy are the Orlando Magic getting with Steve Clifford?
You know, they're really getting a great guy in the community and in the organization. You know, you can always tell a lot by how people talk about somebody when they're gone. You know, everybody, you know, can say at the same time when they're their team's head coach, oh, he's a great guy, I love working with him. And then the second that coach is gone, they're ripping the guy apart. You know, this is what went wrong with him. When I talk to compatriots in Charlotte, they rave about Steve Clifford. Some were, you know, very, very sad to see him go because he had such a great tenure there. So the love for Steve Clifford in every place he's been is very high. That's why he's welcomed back here in open arms, because of such a great person he was. The thing about, I'll always say about Steve is that regardless of whether he's a head coach or an assistant, in whatever stop he was in, if he knew you, he always went out of his way to acknowledge you and say hello and catch up. And that's a real tribute to the person he is. It's not just when he needed something or when he reached a certain level, he's like, forget these guys, you know, I don't need him anymore. He always does that for whoever is there, whether it be from people working in the arena to people covering the team or people he had prior relationships with. He always made sure to go out and talk to him. And that's really a tribute to his person. And that's somebody people in the organization and players all rally behind.
How happy are you to finally have a head coach after a month and a half of not knowing who the guy was? You know, I'd sit down and people would sit there and ask me, who's the next head coach of the Orlando Magic? What are they going to do? I said, well, I don't know. It's been about as quiet as possible. Now we know who that guy is. How does it feel to finally be done with a coaching search?
Well, I'll talk about it from both the professional and personal side. From a personal side, it's fantastic because I've wanted to take vacations and go further away from town and stuff like that. And it's really hard to do because, you know, at any second you could be called back to have a head coach. So I recently took a personal vacation for a few days to Nashville, and I had to call in every day like, hey, am I going to have to fly back to Orlando today? Are we getting close? Are we getting close? And I started to get the whims that we were close, but it wouldn't be after Memorial Day. So I felt safe doing that. So it's nice now that that's in place. We're not going to have to worry about any second.
I was going to say, good for Jeff and John to give us all the holiday weekend, right? Yeah. Like, good for them to do that.
No. It would have been it would have been funny to have to all come in on Memorial Day, because we give up enough holidays during the season. So from a personal standpoint, this is fantastic. Came right at the right time. And I know you're taking a trip tomorrow, so they probably did this just for you and for this podcast. But then from a professional standpoint, this is right when you want to make sure you do have a coach, because a lot of these players now that were out there in the combine, they're going to be coming in for personal workouts in Orlando. And you want your head coach to have his eyes and be able to touch, feel these players, talk to them, and really start to build his philosophy in line with the front office's philosophy of the guys they start wanting to draft. And at the same time, it's also the time of year where guys who've taken some time off and have just been working on physicals training stuff are now starting to work on aspects of their game. So this is a perfect opportunity for him to tell these players what he's going to be looking for this season, his offseason plan for them, and for them to start executing on it.
How involved is he in the workouts now? Because obviously he's in a different place than what he thought he was going to be 2 months ago. He did not expect to be picking in the high lottery. You know, he knew he was going to be in the lottery, so he probably had a group of guys that he was looking at, then did not expect to be picking in the top six in the lottery. How much does this change, and how involved is he in the workouts now with Jeff and John?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Every head coaching dynamic is different, so that's probably one of the things they're going to work on and talk about. First order of business is going to be filling out that rest of the assistant coaching staff. It'll be curious to see. He had guys who worked with him in Charlotte, and that staff was obviously let go, although a few have landed on their feet and found other jobs. Then he's also had a number of prior coaches he worked with in Orlando went to Detroit and would stand being let go in Detroit. Those guys are also looking for jobs. So he'll have a lot of coaches he's had ties with to have access to, plus a number of guys up and coming and around the league that, you know, we don't know their relationships with. So he'll have access to a number of guys he's comfortable with, as well as up and comers. So that's a good place for him there. And then in terms of the draft order, Jeff and John, you know, one of the things they've always been big on is including everybody. So I'm sure Steve's going to have a very active role in what he's looking for. And I'm sure that's something they talked about during the interview process in figuring out if he was a coach that's on the same page with them.
Okay, what is next for Dan Savage? A weekend in Wekiva Springs, floating on a floaty. You got your little armbands ready to go. What is next for Dan Savage? We know the draft is next for the Orlando Magic. But for you personally, what's next?
Well, the Savage household took a blow while on vacation. You could perhaps blame this on my brother-in-law. Our central air conditioning went down.
Ooh.
Now, fortunately, we do have a home warranty. However, the downside with some of these things some of the time is that it takes a little bit longer to get your parts because they have to go through a specific company, etc. So for the next, until Monday, June 4th, the Savages are without central air conditioning, and that can create some, you know, savage attitudes within the Savage household. So the focus for this weekend is staying cool and just relishing in the fact that we have a head coach who I'm familiar with and very happy and thinks going to bring good things to Orlando.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Savage household, I have an Airbnb that is available for booking this weekend. You could be right there in Berlin Manor booking that Airbnb.
Will you give me a good discount? Will I get a magic discount for this?
I'll give you that 15% off they give us at the team store. How about that?
Well, maybe you could put it up for everybody listening to this podcast. Put your group rate up, and it's a little bit of self-advertising there. You might have this thing filled out in no time.
That does it for us here on the Magic Drive Time Podcast Edition with the one and only Dan Savage. Just a reminder, go check out OrlandoMagic.com. They got a lot of great stuff. What do you guys have up there right now about Steve Clifford?
You know, this is one of the areas I think we shine as an organization, is that when something happens, endless amounts of content is being put up nonstop. So the highlights that I'll bring to you, John Denton, great story detailing every aspect of the hire. Josh Cohen, who is a man that just exudes content, I think it comes out of his pores, has a number of photos up from Steve Clifford's first tenure with the Magic. He's already broke down. He did this for any potential candidates that were rumored out there. The guy broke down all his strengths from his past teams, where they've succeeded statistically. I think that's a curious, a very good thing to look into, because you could see where he's been, where their teams have statistically succeeded in the past. Say that five times fast. And then on top of that, we're going to have the full press conference video up. So if you missed any of that, we've got some interviews with Vooch, Jonathan Isaac, that'll be coming up shortly. And then the video team is working on a great project. They followed Jeff and John around the coaching search. They were with Steve as he arrived through the whole first day there. I think by Friday, we're going to have that full feature up of what it was like for that search and then for Steve to come in on his first day. That should be a real intriguing all-access piece.
See, it's proof. We all just don't sit around and do nothing over the offseason, right? We have stuff to do. We have jobs.
At least we pretend to. You know, you just got to act like you're the hardest working guy here. And then sometimes people will believe it.
For us on the radio side, the Orlando Magic Pod Squad will return, this time with Steve Clifford. All four of them plus Steve Clifford. That'll be fun. That'll be interesting. And then, of course, we have the Draft Night Show coming up. That'll be on 96.9. It'll be with Dante Marcatelli, myself, the one and only David Steele, and, of course, the best radio broadcaster in the business, Dennis Newman, all on a panel. Somehow I ended up on that panel of legends. I still don't understand it, still doesn't make any sense, but I'm probably just there because I'm the only one who understands Twitter.
It's that, and plus sometimes they simulcast that thing, and you have great hair, so between you and Dennis Newman, they're covered for TV, even though they're radio. I'm just trying to figure out, how did I get like 2 minutes on this thing? Because it's such an all-star studded cast. I just want to be associated with it in some way. See, so I may sneak on and like steal somebody's microphone and just start talking into it and hope for the best.
That'll be great. Well, that does it for us here. We'll have to make that happen, maybe. I went into my spiel, but I had to think about that. We can get you on. We can make that happen. I don't know how, but I'm going to put intern Sam on that.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
That is true. That is true. I won't do that. I won't do that. Well, that does it for us here on the Magic Draft Time Podcast. It's about 2 o'clock. We're all going to go get lunch because we are hungry as can be. Intern Sam, producer Sam's going to go back and diligently put this together after he eats. But just a reminder, you can check out the Magic Radio on iTunes as well as on SoundCloud. All you got to do, search Orlando Magic Radio. Also search the Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Hit subscribe. Rate both of them. Content coming all throughout the draft, all throughout Summer League. We'll have all that coming up and more. That'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, the podcast.